Well, good morning and welcome to week one of our new series that we are calling Frequency. And if you saw the little tagline there, it says Cutting Through the Noise. This sermon series, the whole idea for the next 4 weeks, we are going to be answering the question, how do I hear God's voice in my life? In fact, that is one of the most common questions that I get as a pastor from you guys. And back at Easter, we gave out cards and you guys wrote down any questions that you had about life, about faith, about God, about the Bible. And we did a series called You Asked For It, where I answered those questions. Well, one of those questions, one of the most common questions I got was, Joe, how do I hear God's voice? How can I tell God is speaking to me? And I answered it briefly in that series, but I promised you back then that we would do a whole series just focused on that. So today is the start of this series on how to hear God's voice. How many of you know and are grateful for the fact that we serve a God who speaks today? He is speaking to us. The real question is, how do we distinguish his voice in our lives? People are asking, Joe, but how do I tell God's voice from my own voice? How do I know it's God speaking and not just me thinking about something? How do I tell God's voice from the enemy's voice trying to lead me the wrong way? Joe, how do I distinguish God's voice from that bad pizza I ate last night? We want to be able to discover what he is saying in our lives. It reminds me of a story I heard about a man who climbed to the top of Mount Sinai because he wanted to get close to God and hear him. If you're unfamiliar with Mount Sinai, that's the mountain that Moses went up when God gave him the Ten Commandments. And so this man climbed to the top of Mount Sinai thinking, if I just get there, then God will hear me and I can talk to him. And so he gets to the top and he looks up to the heavens and he had an important question to ask. He said, Lord, what does 1,000,000 years mean to you? And God replied. And the Lord replied and said, it's just a minute. Nothing but a minute. And then the man asked, I think, which was the real question he wanted to ask. He said, well, God, what does $1,000,000 mean to you? And the Lord replied and he said, it's a penny. Nothing but a penny. And so at that response, the man got excited and just got kind of ready to go. And he said, okay, God, so can I have a penny? And the Lord replied, in a minute. I'm just going to wait there till everybody gets it. That's good. That's funny. I don't care what you say. That's funny right there. So this series has absolutely nothing to do with hearing God like my man who climbed to Mount Sinai to hear God. But we are going to talk about how do we hear God's voice in our lives. That's what this series is all about. And the theme verse for this series is found in John chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. You know, what Jesus would often do is he would often use metaphors or analogies to help illustrate and communicate spiritual truths. And in this case, he uses one of the most famous analogies used in the New Testament, that between a shepherd and his sheep. Specifically, Jesus is the shepherd and we are the sheep. And he says this in John chapter 10, verse 3. He says to him, talking about the shepherd, who was Jesus, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Church, this is us, voice. Every single one of you. And he says in verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. In preparation for this sermon series, I read a couple different books, and one of them was actually called Frequency. That was the name of it. That's kind of what inspired originally this series that was created. And the author of this book tells about how he and his wife traveled to Israel on a trip and actually had the opportunity to talk to some real-life Israeli shepherds. And so he went and they talked to him, just kind of asking about their life and what their day-to-day stuff looked like. And they told him a story about how once a day, all these different shepherds with their own flocks try to gather together at the same place to pasture their sheep. It's the best pasture in the area. It's got the best grass. And so they all come together and meet. And the shepherds love it because it's a great opportunity for them to actually have some real life people interaction. They're just a little tired hanging out with animals all day. And so they're getting together, probably discussing things like, well, you wouldn't believe what my sheep tried to do yesterday. That's supposed to be funny for the parents because it's like their kids. Yeah. So they're getting together, just trying to hang out, trying to connect, catch up on life, get some face-to-face time. But inevitably, it comes to the point where the shepherds need to take their flocks and go back to their starting place, go back to the next place that they're supposed to go to. So what they do, one at a time, is the shepherd, each shepherd has a distinctive call for his sheep. It could sound like many different things, but the first shepherd would stand up and go, okay, it's time to go. He'd go, hey, hey. And all of his sheep immediately lift up their heads, see their shepherd, and begin to follow him as he walks away. Now, here's the thing. There's multiple flocks down in that pasture. They're all mingled up all over the place. The other sheep for the other shepherds, they don't even lift their heads. They're not even listening. That's not their shepherd. They don't listen to the voice of a stranger. They just hang out there. And the shepherd's sheep, the one that's calling, they pop up. And even though they're mingled out, all of them, every single one of them, not one is left behind, follows the voice of their shepherd. And then the next shepherd gets up, hip, hip, hip. And then his sheep pop up and follow only his sheep. Do you guys see this? I think this is the picture that Jesus had in mind when he uses this analogy. My sheep hear my voice. They don't listen to the voice of a stranger, but when I call, they know it and they follow me. That's what we want for all of you this morning, to be able to distinguish God's voice and follow him in whatever way he's leading. And for some of you, this is critical right now. For some of you, you're facing some big life decisions. Maybe you're trying to decide, man, should I get out of the mirror in high school going, what college should I go to? What should I study? What am I going to spend the rest of my life doing? How many of you think it would be a good idea to know what God thinks about those decisions you're about to make? Yeah. We want to hear his voice. We need his direction. And I got to be honest with you, I love that people desire to hear God's voice more because it tells me that they genuinely care to not only hear God, but to obey what he says. I love that. I love the desire. And you know, truthfully, I think some of us just need to be able to hear God's voice before we answer that angry email. I'm just saying. Maybe before we respond to that text message, young people, before you hit send on that post, it might be good to hear God's voice. You guys with me this morning? Might be a little bit helpful. Okay, so let's jump in here. Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, verse 8, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What I want you to understand this morning, church, is that God doesn't have a speaking problem. We have a hearing problem. And throughout this series, I want to help us with our hearing problem. And this morning, we're going to look at a very familiar portion of Scripture to glean some important truths about what it looks like to prepare our hearts to hear from God. So in Luke chapter 8, verse 8, he says this phrase. He says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But that's in the middle. I want to back up a few verses and give you the context for this parable. This is a parable that Jesus is speaking, which, by the way, if you're unsure what a parable is, it's simply a made-up story that Jesus would use to communicate a spiritual truth. It's like a pastor using an illustration today. He was using a story to help us understand it. And he says this in Luke chapter 8, verse 5. That's where we're going to start. You can turn your Bibles there. You can look at the screens, look at your notes, whatever's helpful for you. We're going to have it available to you. Verse 5, it says, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil. That's our topic for today. That's what we want. We want that good soil. It says, and some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The truth is, it's not that God isn't speaking. It's just not landing in the right place. So Jesus goes on, and fortunately for us with this parable, he actually explains what he's talking about. Because there's quite a few parables where Jesus doesn't explain it, and it is left to us to determine what it is that God is communicating through this thing. But Jesus explains it, and he says this in Luke chapter 8, verse 11. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Now, as I say that, and as you read that on the screen, many of you probably immediately think, oh, the word of God, that's the Bible. Now, the word of God is the Bible, and the Bible is God's word, but you got to understand that when Jesus said this, the whole New Testament hadn't even been written yet. It wasn't the Bible that we have today. Now, here's what I don't want you to confuse. We absolutely believe in the authority of Scripture. Here at Mana Church, we say the Bible is the handbook for life. It is our guidebook. We don't adjust the Bible to fit our lives. We adjust our lives to fit the Bible. Am I right? Yeah, so that's a core value of ours. But what Jesus is talking about isn't the word of God. Isn't the Bible. He's talking about the spoken word of God. God's word spoken into your hearts, spoken into your life. And he explains that there are four different scenarios that take place, that could take place when God's word is spoken into your life. And here's the thing. Every single one of us in this room is one of these four. We are all one of these four. Here's the first. In Luke chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus explains. He says, the ones along the path, if you remember the birds came and devoured the seed, took it away. He says, the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. Here's the first scenario that we're talking about. It is the polluted heart. The polluted heart. God is trying to speak, but we have some junk in our hearts that's preventing us from hearing his voice. And I want you guys to know, this happens to me too. The enemy is trying nonstop. I'm just going to give you an insight into his plans. He is trying nonstop to put stuff in our hearts that will prevent us from hearing from God. Because if we don't hear from God, we're not going to walk into the fullness of the potential that he has for our lives. You guys realize that? So the enemy would do anything that he can to prevent us from walking in to all that God has for us. So he'll bring some pollution into our hearts to get in the way. And pollution comes in one of two different forms. The first one is the stuff we do to ourselves. That would be the choices that you make, the sin you commit, the stuff that you allow in to get inside your heart. Now listen, all of us sin. We're human. If you're confused about whether or not you sin, or maybe you're saying, yeah, Joe, that's not me. I don't really sin. I can tell you right now what your sin problem is. Like, we can just deal with this right here and now. No, all of us sin because we're human, but here's the thing. Some of us have unrepentant sin. And what unrepentant sin does is it keeps this pollution in our heart that prevents us from hearing God. It means we're still carrying around the shame. We're still carrying around the guilt. It's almost like we've got this block in that's preventing us from hearing from God. So we need to deal with the sin in our lives. I'm going to talk about the solution for that in just a bit, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. The second form of pollution that can come in isn't what we do to ourselves. It's actually what other people do to you. This is a real thing. The enemy will try to stir up any relationship that he can in your life, especially those that are closest to you, like your spouses or your children or your close friends or your coworkers. He loves to stir those things up to just cause some things to get in your heart that prevents you from connecting with God. What we need to understand is the problem between you and that person really isn't about you and that person. It's about the enemy trying to prevent us from hearing God's voice. Let me explain this a little bit further by giving you an example. And I'm not going to give details. I'm not going to name names. Just in case that person ever happens to listen to this message, I don't want them to know that it was them I'm talking about. And now everybody else is going to be like, oh, I hope it wasn't me. It probably wasn't. So I had a friend at one time, and it's not super significant right now. In the moment, it felt more significant than it was. But I had a friend that really wronged me. he did something that just wasn't cool, just wasn't right. And you know, that kind of hurt. But the reality is that happens all the time. We're human. We fall short. We disappoint. Like, that's going to happen. The thing that got to me is that he wouldn't own up to it. He wouldn't admit it. He wouldn't apologize for it. He knew it was wrong. Other people told him it was wrong. He wouldn't own up for it. And so I remember that evening just going, man, like, I was pretty upset about it. And then I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. Whatever. What's done is done. I'm just gonna do my thing, keep going. And the next morning, I woke up to have my devotional time. And personally, like, my personal preference is I like to have my devotional time first thing in the morning, first thing I do. And so I woke up, and I go grab my Bible and get ready to have my devotional time. And as I'm sitting there opening my Bible, getting ready to start my reading plan, I just start thinking about my friend and what he did to me yesterday. And I was like, well, you know, maybe it was me. And so I kind of, like, go through, like, is there anything in me? Like, did I do something wrong? No, I don't think it was me. And I started to think more, like, man, you really wronged me over that. That's pretty jacked up. Like, what's going on with this? And then I started to get a little bit upset. Next thing I knew, 30 minutes had passed, and I still haven't read one word in my Bible yet. Do you guys see this? This relational issue was preventing me from connecting with God. I was too concerned by what was happening in the relationship in my life that I wasn't pressing into God. And I realized in that moment, oh, Joe, here's your issue. You got some unforgiveness in your heart. And right then and there, I said, okay, whether this guy ever apologizes or not, he ended up apologizing, by the way. It's all good. Still great friends. So he ended up apologizing. And so I just said, God, I just choose to forgive him. Whatever's going on, this is yours. And I was able to get back in and finish up my devotional time. Do you guys see that? Sometimes what people do to us can prevent us from connecting with God. We need to make sure that we don't allow any unforgiveness in our hearts to sit there and fester, because it's going to prevent us from hearing God's voice in our lives. You guys okay this morning? Okay. James says it this way in James chapter 1, verse 21. He says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So how do we deal with the pollution? The solution is actually very simple. It's one word. And it's a word that for some of you is one of the most life-giving and refreshing words you know. For others of you, depending on your past experience, it is a dirty, like, mean word that you just aren't a big fan of. The word is repent. And for some of you, you have a bad taste in your mouth because you've seen that word used to beat you upside the head. Like this. I'm excited for this. I've been waiting for this part all morning. Oh, you dirty, rotten sinner. You better repent now, boy. You're going straight to hell. You better turn and burn, people. Turn and burn. You're going to go straight. You ever seen that? Like, I'm doing that. That's like my southern preacher, street preacher coming out. Because I've seen that. They got, like, signs on, turn and burn. Like, I don't know if that's ever going to work. Maybe it does. Like, God knows. God knows. I just don't think it's the most effective. But some of you hear the word repent. Oh, you better repent. And that's what you think of. Some old, mean old preacher pointing his finger. You better repent. You better repent. Guys, that's not the word. This is one of the most beautiful words in the Bible, because it means that Jesus made a way for us to get rid of all the junk in our lives. It means that Jesus paid it all so that you and I could have a fresh start and a new life right now. You know what the word repent really means? It means to turn around. That's what repentance means. It means you're going in a specific direction, in a certain direction, and you realize, oh, this probably isn't the direction I should be going, and you stop and you go, nope, God, I repent. I'm sorry for what I've done. You turn around and start walking the other way. You guys see that? We just need to repent. That's how you deal with the pollution in your life. It's simple. Here's the key idea. It's not in your notes, so you may want to write it down. We can't begin a new life until we turn from the old. The second scenario that Jesus references is found in verse 13, the very next verse. He says, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in a time of testing, fall away. This actually happens every Sunday all across the world. People hear an amazing message on a Sunday morning, just like you guys do every single weekend. Thank you for laughing. I appreciate that. Makes me feel better about myself. No, seriously though, they hear this great message on a Sunday morning. They get inspired. They say, man, I'm going to do something different today. And by the time they get to their cars, they've forgotten all about it. Anybody? Like, I've done that. For sure, I have done that. Absolutely. What is that? That is the distracted heart. We're talking about a distracted heart. And here's the tricky thing about distractions. You can even be distracted by good things. And they can prevent you from the most important things. Distract you from the most important things. You know, I think for a lot of us, we're not hearing from God because we're hearing somebody or something else. You ever been in the mall and seen a friend like on the other side of the courtyard? You're like, hey, George! Hey, George! Hey. He's like, hey, Joe. Joe, what's up, man? I'm like, how you doing? What? You doing good? Huh? Go Broncos! What did you say? They can't hear anything. Why? Because there's too many competing voices all around. And it's drowning out the voice that you're trying to hear. You guys follow me? God's talking, but there's a lot of competition going around that's distracting us from the most important things. There's a lot of other voices, a lot of other noise in our world. We need to cut through the noise and tune into the frequency of God's voice. You know what distracts me the most? It's something called a Joby. He's two years old and has no idea what it means to sleep in. I'm just kidding. That was my son. I'm kidding about that. Although, like, there is some truth to that. Like, seriously, I'll decide one morning, you know what? I'm just going to wake up a little extra early tomorrow. I'm going to spend a little extra time with Jesus. It's going to be great. Guess what day my son decides to wake up a little extra early in the morning? Parents? Mm-hmm. You know that's true. As soon as you decide, it's over. It's over. No, seriously. The biggest distraction in my life is this little device right here. It's a smartphone. Because here's how it works for me. My smartphone, like I just looked at it and got distracted for just a second there. That was awful. I like that back in my pocket. Get that out of here. Preaching a message this morning. Somebody like my Instagram post. So my smartphone, it has an alarm clock on it. And that's what wakes me up in the morning. I play, my alarm is on my smartphone. So first thing when I wake up, I'm hitting that snooze button, I'm grabbing my phone. But here's the other thing, my Bible reading plan is on my smartphone. So when I do my devotional time, I have my phone, I pull it up, all right, what am I supposed to read today? Okay, got it, gonna read. And then half the time, I actually just read my Bible right on the app. I got the YouVersion Bible app, and so I'm like reading the Bible right there. And then if I'm gonna spend some time in prayer, this is a divine appointment just then. I'll wake up, and I hit the alarm clock, and I go look at the Bible reading plan. But before I do that, I realize, oh, somebody commented on my Instagram post. Oh, man, I haven't heard from that guy in forever. So I'm like, you just take a second. I'm just going to see what they say. So I open it up, and oh, man, that was so nice. Man, what is this guy up to? And I like, click on his picture. I'm like, what's he going? And I'm like scrolling down the feed. Oh, he was hanging out with my other buddy. What is this guy? Man, I haven't seen these guys since high school. I'm like looking, and then I go look at my, click on my other buddy. Oh, what's he up to? Oh, he got married. You got to be kidding me. And like 30 minutes later, oh, shoot, I was supposed to read my Bible. What just happened with the time? Anybody with me? I think you're laughing because you know it's true. Like, this is happening. Man, the smartphone, it just distracts me from the most important things. You know, I think technology has been a blessing. It really has. It has made our life so much more productive. We're able to accomplish more than we ever have in the history of humanity. And right now, because of technology, I believe we are closer than ever to finally fulfilling the great commission that Jesus Christ gave to his followers to reach every nation, every people group with the message of the gospel. Because we have what we need to go into places that we didn't have access before. We got things like GPS. We got things like listening to the Bible through headphones that people are dropping into North Korea. That's really happening. Little miniature, little radio things getting dropped in so people can hear it. Like, we have this awesome technology, but how many of you know technology can be a curse too? In fact, they say that on average, kids ages 8 to 18 spend an average of 7.5 hours per day on their smartphones. That's crazy. That's 53 hours a week. That's more than a full-time job, people. That is distracting. And the thing about it is, it doesn't just distract us from God. It also distracts us from family. It distracts us from doing things that are a little bit more important, like maybe we should read a book and learn something instead of just surfing Instagram all night. It distracts us from all sorts of things. And maybe it's not a smartphone for you. I would ask you the question, what is it that distracts you more than anything else? What is it that's preventing you from connecting with God and hearing his voice in your life? You know, Jesus went to have a dinner at a house where there were two women. One was named Mary, the other was named Martha. And Jesus was in the same house, saying the exact same thing, but they had two very different experiences. In Luke chapter 10, verse 39, it says, And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But watch this. But Martha was, say it with me, Martha was distracted by serving God instead of spending time with him. And I don't know what it may be for you, but I think we just need to begin to identify, okay, what's distracting us from connecting with God, and just choose to begin to eliminate it from our lives. Here's the key thought. You can write this down. To hear God's voice, turn down the world's volume. To hear God's voice, you must turn down the world's volume. The third scenario that Jesus identifies is in verse 14. He says, and as for what fell among the thorns. You guys know what thorns are? They're the most annoying of all weeds. They're the worst kind of weed. Because when you try to go pull it up, you know what it does? Pricks you. Man, that thing is just so frustrating. And my wife and I, we recently moved into a new home and we got a yard. Praise God. We have a backyard. We're very excited about that. And if you talk to the people that know me, you know that they will tell you that I'm very excited about getting some nice grass in my backyard. Like, I'm excited about that. There's something in me that I just love some nice, lush, green grass that's freshly mowed. Anybody else like the smell of fresh cut grass? Praise God. That and Sharpies. I'm just kidding. So we have this yard and we got this grass. The only problem is, we got a bunch of weeds in the grass. And so my poor wife is out there before I'm mowing, like pulling up. We have these little aspen tree seedlings, like never an issue in North Carolina. It's an issue in Colorado. Got these little aspen tree seedlings that are growing up. And we found out that if you just cut them down, it actually spreads and more of them will start growing up. So we got to pull them out before we mow the grass. And we got like dandelions and all kinds of weeds that I don't know the names of. And my poor wife is out there just like pulling these stumps, prepping for me to go mow the grass. And here's the thing, like I'm doing everything I can to get my grass to grow right, doing nothing for the weeds, and guess what keeps popping up? Weeds, like all by themselves. They just keep coming. Do you know why our yard has so many weeds that we keep having to pull up? Because the previous owners neglected the yard. Here's the thing. If you've got weeds in your life, it's because you have areas of your life that have been neglected. Now, you may not be able to prevent the weeds popping up, but you sure can determine how long they're going to stay there. And if you neglect it for extended periods of time, you know what's going to happen? The weeds are going to overrun it. You ever see it's everywhere? Why? Because there's nobody there to pull them up. Weeds equal neglect. This is what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, as for what fell among the thorns, as for what fell among the places that were neglected, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. That's a key word. The third scenario is the immature heart or the neglected heart. And it kind of looks like this. Somebody says, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die, so I'm good. I'm good right here. I'm good right with where I am. No, I'm going to heaven. I'm good. Everything's great. And God is saying, yes, you're saved. Yes, you're going to heaven when you die, but I have something more for you. But I want to take you deeper. I want to take you further. It's time to grow up a little bit. Church, I think it's time for us to go a little bit deeper and to become a little bit more intentional. I keep telling stories about my wife, but I'm with her all the time, so we got good stories. So my wife and I, she's sitting on the front row. You look great today, by the way, sweetheart. Thanks for serving in kids this morning. My wife and I, we have pretty complex conversations. We talk about our plans for the next day. We manage our finances together. Recently, we've been talking a lot about insurance coverage for the hailstorm that we had and the baby that's coming. And we've been having these conversations, and we talk about what God has been speaking to us in our devotional time. Like, you can have some pretty deep, complex conversations. My son and I, our conversations are a little bit different. Right now, he's about to be two. He's a month away from being two. Kind of looks something like this. Hey, buddy. Do you know that Daddy loves you? Yeah. Cool. Do you love Daddy? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome, man. And I just kind of wait a little bit, and then he'll say, go play kiddos. You're like, what? Oh, you want to go play with the kiddos? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, Mommy's going to go take you to the park tomorrow. You can go play with the kiddos tomorrow. No! That's how it goes. Like, I'm not making that up. That just happened this week. That's our conversation. Just a few months back, our conversation went more like this. Hey, Joby, man, can you say daddy? Come on, you can do it. Daddy. Da-da. Da-da. Come on, try it. Da-da. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden, he's like, da. Yes, this is amazing. I'm running to my wife. Did you hear him? He said daddy first. This is awesome. I'm so excited. Listen, I have the ability to communicate quite a bit more than that. But that's all he can receive because he's immature. You hear me? Now, when he grows up, it's going to get better than that, right? Yeah, absolutely. I think some of us are dissatisfied with the level of God's communication, but maybe it's on us a little bit. Maybe it's time for us to grow up in areas of our life. Maybe it's time for us to go to bed a little bit earlier so that we can wake up a little bit earlier and spend some intentional time connecting with God. That takes self-discipline, which is a mark of maturity. Church, I think God wants to speak to us at a more sophisticated level, but I also think it's on us to grow up a little bit. I hope you guys okay. Like, I hope you're okay. You guys asked me, you know, I want to hear from God's voice. I hope you guys okay this morning. Listen, I'm here too. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. If we want to grow in our own lives, if we want to mature a little bit, here's a hint. One of the things that you can do is look to those who have done it well before you. Look to the past, to those who have grown in their walks with God, who have heard God's voice clearly, which means you might need to dig into Scripture a little bit. You might need to read the pages of Scripture and learn about the people who have the lives that you want to imitate. That's the kind of relationship with God that you want to have. In fact, when you're in that, you can also read about people who didn't do it very well and say, oh, well, I should probably not do that. I can learn from their mistakes. And not just in Scripture, but man, there's some great men and women following Jesus in this church right here. And maybe you look around the room and say, you know what? I've been watching that guy. I've been watching that gal. Man, she's really got something figured out. I want to learn from her. Why not just go up to her and say, hey, would you mind mentoring me? Hey, could you teach me what it means to really follow Jesus like you follow Jesus? We need some people in our lives to help us grow up. So people who can call out our immaturity. That's helpful. He goes on to say, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Here's the second thing you can do. One thing, you cannot be intentional about following Jesus and not grow at the same time. Like, the two go together. It's not one or the other. It's both at the same time. As you focus on Jesus, you will grow in your spiritual maturity. That's what we need. Here's the key idea. Maturity comes when we stop making excuses and start making changes. The last condition of the heart that Jesus referred to is found in verse 18. This is the one we're after. He says, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." This final heart is the prepared heart. That's what we're after. The whole point of this message was to get you to this point where I could identify the hearts that we don't want, the hearts that we need to work on, so that we could come to the place where we're starting to cultivate a prepared heart. We need to prepare our hearts to hear God's voice speaking in our lives. Now, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to go in deeper as to what that looks like. How do we discern his voice? What does it sound like? What ways does God speak to us to actually hear from him in the first place? So, how do we get a prepared heart? It's a great question. I'm glad you asked. Number one, three quick things. Number one, it's that word we talked about before. Simply repent. If you're going in the wrong direction, can I just encourage you? Guys, don't sweat it. We all fall short. Romans 8 says, "There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Like, if you're going in the wrong direction, just stop, repent, turn around, and start walking the other way. That deals with that pollution in our hearts. Second thing you can do is refocus. Maybe it means, like I said before, going to bed a little bit earlier, so you can get up a little bit earlier and really make some time to connect with God. Maybe that means putting a time devoted specifically and solely to connecting with God on your calendar. So you say, you know what? This is a priority. I'm going to put it on my calendar, and this is my appointment with God. I'm going to make an appointment with God today. Put it on your calendar. Maybe for some of you, that means read your Bible for the first time. Man, that's awesome. Just open the Bible app. It's such an easy way to do that. For some of you, that means close Facebook. And oh, it's amazing. Make a plan. Be intentional. But let me say this again. Guys, don't sweat it. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I do believe that God wants to speak to you. And I think that we will be in a better place to hear his voice. In fact, I know that we will be in a better place to hear his voice if we prepare our hearts to hear him. So let's deal with the pollution in our heart. Let's deal with the distractions in our life. Refocus on God. And let's take that immaturity thing and let's say, no, I'm going to be intentional about starting to grow. Third thing you can do is simply revive. Revive. Ask God to bring revival in your heart. Ask him to do that for you. Because here's the thing about God. He wants you to hear his voice. He's not hiding from you. He's not like up in heaven going, oh, I wonder how many tricks I can play on this guy before he actually understands what I'm saying. That's not God. No, he sent his son Jesus to make a way so that we can have a personal relationship with him. He wants an ongoing, life-giving friendship with you. He gave his son so that you could have it. Ask God to bring revival in your own heart. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. He says, "Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God." What does that mean? I want to read it to you in another translation. It's actually a paraphrase in words that we can understand. And the Message translation reads it this way. It says, "With promises like this to pull us on, dear friends, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God." Here's your last point if you're taking notes. God's voice is clearest in a prepared environment. You know, you don't grow bananas in Alaska. Aren't you grateful for a pastor who can bring deep spiritual truths like that to you on a Sunday morning? You don't grow bananas in Alaska because it's not the right environment. Bananas grow in the tropics. In the same way, you have to prepare the right environment in your heart to produce the fruit that you're after. Church, let's prepare our hearts to hear God's voice. Let's get rid of the smartphones. God is divine. Encounters this morning has been fantastic. Let's grow up a little bit and let's focus in on God. I want to close with a quote from a guy named Dallas Willard, who wrote a book called Hearing God. It's another book that I read and as I was preparing for this series. He said this. He said, "We must therefore make it our primary goal not just to hear the voice of God, but to be mature people in a loving relationship with Him." That's when we'll hear most clearly. When we're walking with God, day by day, moment by moment, desiring to hear His voice, that's when we'll hear most clearly. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, I thank you for every single person that's here today. God, I thank you for the desire to hear your voice, to hear you speaking to us. And Lord, I pray that you would work deep in our hearts. God, as we even take steps today to prepare our hearts to hear your voice, God, I pray that you would speak more clearly than we've ever heard you. God, that you would open our ears to perceive your voice more clearly than we've ever experienced it in our lives. God, would you lead us and direct us in all of your ways for the glory of your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, if you would leave your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment.